What's up? What's up? What's up? This is Country Boy, and I'm back with another episode of The Cut. I'm doing this shit solo dolo again, and I know that I haven't been the most consistent or inconsistent in any definition of the word. But I kind of have to strike when my, you know, I get a wild hair to do this sort of thing. So here I am. Banging out another episode when I have things on my mind that I feel like I need to talk about and get off my chest. So whatever's fine. So today on deck, we have quite a few topics. We're going to talk about candy corn. We're going to talk about cranberry sauce. And we're going to talk about Dave Chappelle and whatever else pops into my head. I don't foresee anything crazy popping into my head, but it's good to be back. It's good to be back on the mic. I promise you, I'm gonna be more consistent. You know, one mic's season is coming to an end, so I'm gonna have more time to focus on being me and doing things that are more mic. Anyway, we're gonna get let's get this motherfucking started. First and foremostly, we're gonna talk about candy corn, because this has been a topic that's been, man, the war on candy corn is gotten started all over again. And I thought this was a 1 year thing. And while I am the biggest hater of candy corn, it kind of feels like this year, like stop, it's already dead. You know, it just doesn't really feel like the other side is as excited about candy corn as we are at hating it. And, you know, like it doesn't feel even, which is fine. I'm still rapping fuck candy corn. Before getting on Twitter, before being, you know, vehemently on the side of fuck candy corn, I have tried it in the past, and it's one of those candies where every single year I would forget how fucking disgusting it was and would try it again and be thoroughly disgusted all over again and think to myself, why did I do this again? Why did I try candy corn for a second time or a third time, knowing that it was disgusting? And honestly, I don't even know what I expected as a candy named after a fucking vegetable. Like, this feels like this is a bad plan. This feels like this wasn't thought all the way through by whoever came up with the idea for a candy corn. Like, this, you couldn't think of a better candy. You had to name it candy corn. You know, like, you know, candy celery, candy broccoli. Like, whose idea was this? Who came up with the idea for candy corn? Because I feel like you didn't think this through all the way. And to candy corn's, and to its, you know, defense, it's not the worst candy on the planet. There are several candy that are much worse than candy corn. Black licorice, that weird black and white, black and yellow candy in the wax paper, whatever that chewy caramel shit is, disgusting. Those Christmas mints, those Christmas peppermints that don't have no paper or nothing, they just be loose in the bottom of your grandmama purse, and she would just pop them in your mouth at church and tell you to shut the hell up in church. That shit, that's disgusting. Like, those candies are much, much worse than anything that candy corn could endure. I mean, for the most part, candy corn is just sugar. It's mostly sugar. So I guess it could be worse. I guess it could be worse. But, I think the biggest issue with candy corn is as much like Peeps as it just shows up randomly in the fall. Like, people show up at Easter and you're like, people eat that shit? Or like those chocolate covered cherries, those Queen Anne cherries. Like, who the fuck is eating those things? Who the fuck is eating these things? These things just sit on the shelf all damn Christmas. No one is eating Queen Anne cherries. just like nobody's eating fucking candy corn. How does this shit keep showing up every single year? Nobody's eating Peeps. Like, I don't know. And I know as soon as I say this, I'm going to meet a bunch of other fuckers that, like, I love Peeps and candy corn and, you know, Queen Anne cherries. And to that I say, nah, that's, you're fucking disgusting. That's, you disgust me. Absolutely disgust me. And so this is what happened. I think Baylor the Great, the awesome podcaster, Baylor the Great, was commenting on a thread that mentioned what's the most underrated Thanksgiving food. And he said cranberry sauce. And to that I stated that cranberry sauce was the candy corn of Thanksgiving. And to my surprise, people were like, niggas, you crazy? Niggas, you stupid? I love cranberry sauce. Why? Why? What's going on in your world? What is going on in your life that cranberry sauce feels like that you need to eat? Because that shit ain't right. It's fucking vegetable jello. Like, I don't even know what you're doing. I don't know what's happening here. But if you want jello, we can make good jello. We can make jello, lime jello. I can make lime jello and it won't come out of the can looking like the same way it was sitting in the fucking can. Like, there's nothing appetizing about cranberry sauce. And to that point, we don't even make that shit. We don't even make that shit. Like, I have not had cranberry sauce in years. Like, it's such, it feels like something you would see in, like, a movie Thanksgiving. Like, that's the shit. They put cranberry sauce right next to the stuffing. Like, nah, nigga, we not eating that shit. We not eating that shit. Matter of fact, Thanksgiving dinner has gotten so, like, there's no real special food anymore, like, other than the turkey or the ham, because we're not eating that all that much. But for the most part, it's just like collard greens and mac and cheese and stuff that you might get throughout the year. Like, the idea of creating of making stuffing, like, we're not doing that. There's no stuffing. There's no cranberry sauce. Matter of fact, I didn't even know black people ate cranberry sauce until you mentioned that shit on Twitter, and like, they came out the woodworks, like, you know, popping up out the bushes. Nigga, I love cranberry sauce. You sure? Are you sure? It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. You know, so I would love to hear your thoughts on cranberry sauce, on candy corn. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Hey, you can tell me. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to me at the Cut Podcast and tell me what the fuck you think about candy corn, about cranberry sauce. You know what? The fact that you guys eat cranberry sauce and that shit slides out the can still looking like it's sitting in the damn can, that should be your first concern that something, that this ain't right. That ain't right, mama. It's not right. It's not fucking right. It's not. Anyway, we're going to move on. I'm going to stop talking about candy corn. I promise I'm not going to talk about cranberry sauce anymore. I'm just not going to eat that nasty shit. Not. It looks weird. I just know I don't want it. I ain't had it in years. I know I don't want it. We're going to move on to motherfucking Dave Chappelle. Because Dave Chappelle has started some shit. Dave Chappelle has started some shit. And the funny thing about his special, because I watched it and I enjoyed it. And it's weird that he's gotten the term of GOAT. Because Dave Chappelle has kind of slid into this George Carlin stage where he doesn't feel the need to be funny constantly, like being funny and side splitting and you know, I'm rolling on the floor and I'm dying. Like, that's not Dave. Dave is more than happy to use jokes that set up other jokes later or to make a point of social commentary, you know, that rather than a side splitting joke. And honestly, if Dave stopped doing comedy and decided that he wanted to be a public speaker or a person that spoke out on injustice, I feel like he has a platform for that because he's a very engaging speaker. And it's funny because it's not that he's the most, you know, eloquent speaker. He's not, you know, Obama, where he can just, you know, rattle off big words or, you know, captivate a huge audience with his, you know, commanding voice. But his way of speaking is very, it's just comforting. Like when you listen to him, you just know that I want to hear what this guy has to say. And he can put things to you in a way that you see them differently than you did before. Patrice O'Neal was that way. He was a lot more crass, but Patrice O'Neal had a excellent skill of making unfunny things funny, where he could, you know, hey, you listen to something, you're like, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but this is fucking hilarious. This is absolutely hilarious. You know, shout out to Patrice O'Neal, my goat. He, you know, Elephant in the Room is great. If you're going to do anything, just watch Elephant in the Room. He has a hilarious Natalie Holloway joke that has some modern overtones. If you haven't watched it, go check it out. It's dope. It's fucking dope. Back to Dave. So if you wanted to be a public speaker, I would be behind that 1,000%. I just like hearing to him make, you know, comment on things on his mind, on injustice. I think on Black Thought's album, he has a Dave Chappelle interlude where he talks about Black people being enslaved and you know, being used, brought over here on boats and being used as beasts of burden. And, you know, years later, they told us that we were lazy and we damn near freed ourselves. And all of this social commentary, just for him to say that white people's weakness the whole time was kneeling for the national anthem. Now, that punchline was, you know, but the commentary he made to get to that point, everything that you heard up to that point about what Black people have been subjected to, that shit is invaluable. And his ability to take and captivate, you know, not just Black audiences, but white audiences and make them listen to this. Listen to what I am telling you. Is nobody else has that kind of power. They don't wield that kind of power. You know, using that shit for good. As far as the special, like I said, it's not a sort of special where you're going to be side splitting. You know, you're dying. I'm dying. I'm in tears laughing at this foolishness. It's more of a social commentary where there are some jokes in there. And to that point, you can kind of see that it was a time, a harkening back to a cruder time, cruder jokes, you know, like the space juice joke was kind of like, that's the way you're going with this. That's what you were leading up to. I don't know. I felt maybe there could be more there. But the big controversy has been his talk about the gay community, about his gay community, and especially his talk about the trans community and the treatment of African Americans. And they accuse Dave of punching down, which I disagree with. What I will say is that Dave Chappelle is, in his commentary on LGBTQ community, is tough because the LGBTQ community is not a monolith. They are a collection of multiple different groups, multiple different types of people. So while, you know, talking about the trans community may feel like punching down because they are a punching bag for a lot of groups within our society, and it just doesn't seem fair to to bombard them, somebody with jokes that is, I mean, the suicide rates, the murder rates in the trans community are like multiple times higher than the average for I don't want to call them normal, but for everyone else, for multiple times. And that's it doesn't seem fair. On the same note, gay white men are afforded privileges that we are just never, Black people just don't have. And when he talked about during his special about I admire your movement. I admire what you've been able to do, what you've been able to accomplish. He is absolutely correct, because in a relative short amount of time. Black people have been at this for equal rights, trying to get people to acknowledge that we matter for 400 fucking years. We're still at Black Lives Matter. Do we even fucking matter? This is where we're at, you know? Whereas we're at the point within the gay community where you can't, he can't even make a joke about them, you know, and they're protesting. They're protesting out in front of Netflix. So it's a movement, you know? And like I was saying earlier about them not being a monolith, like the trans community, yes, that feels like punching down. It doesn't feel fair. But by all means, gay white men, that is not punching down. They are afforded all of the benefits of being a white man in society. And whereas straight white men may look down upon them, you know, they're still in that social hierarchy much higher than any African American. It's much higher than any African American. And that is in itself the reason why their movement is able to move so quickly to get things done so quickly, because they have white men in their camp. And anytime in America that you got white men on board with you, you are doing something right. You are doing something correct. You are going to go places because they are the master class in this society. They've been put at the head of the table, and they move where America moves the way they move. You can see it. You can see it. Look at places like Mississippi. Mississippi is 40% and is 40% black. 40%. And they haven't had a black senator maybe ever. Who do they represent? Who are you representing? You know? So I agree with them in some respects. Also, with the in talking about his controversy, I kind of think this is what he wanted. I kind of think this is what he was looking for. In the beginning, he told a joke about the baby. He told a joke about the baby and how the baby had shot a nigga in Walmart, and that did not derail his career. But hurting a gay person's feelings, and now he's been kicked off the tour, and so many other things are happening in his life, and so many bad things are happening in his life. And then it's like, but then if you hurt a gay person's feelings, bad things happen to you. And then he proceeded to hurt gay people's feelings for the next hour. Like that's not a coincidence. He did it on purpose. This is absolutely a coincidence. It's absolutely what he was meaning to do, what he was trying to do. And for that, hey, I applaud your balls. I applaud your balls for saying what you felt like needed to be said. I enjoyed it. I don't feel like the controversy matches what I saw. What I saw and the controversy that I'm seeing, they don't really line up. I do kind of feel like, you know, trans community may have a bit of a beef. And I think the story with him and his trans friend was put there to kind of soften the blow. And with that, to me, it kind of feels like when a white person tells you that they got I have black friends, you know, while repeatedly calling you a nigga or saying racist things. So I don't feel like that kind of matches. I don't feel like that balances out. You having one trans friend just not kind of give you the ability to just blast people who are having a hard time in life, you know, for a whole hour. That's just me. You might feel I'm wrong. Hey, if you feel the need, you want to reach out to me, you want to tell me what you think, you can reach out to me at The Cut Podcast on Twitter. Tell me what you think about Dave Chappelle and the trans community or the gay community, and whether or not you felt like he was punching down. whether or not you felt like he was punching down. With that, I've been at this for 20 minutes. I've actually had a good time. I'm actually kind of enjoying, I'm kind of enjoying this, but I feel like I'm moving into rant territory. So with that, we're going to get up out of here. You know where to find me. This will probably be out shortly. I got other episodes on deck. I ain't even edited them yet. I got to get better. But hey, you know where to find me. You know what's going on here in these streets. Also check out One Mic History and peace.